May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening with hymn 283. 283. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Hymn 283.
We've been able to read together from the most holy word of God, two portions, Isaiah chapter 55, firstly, and then that chapter we took our text from this morning, the first epistle general of John, chapter 1. But firstly, Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In the first epistle general of John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. Most kind and gracious God, are thou before whom we live and move and have our being, and by whom we live and move and have our being. Oh, yes, it is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Thy compassions fail not. We're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Or to be then as a beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. With all our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, nothing to commend ourselves, recommend ourselves. There is nothing in us is a naught to merit thy esteem or to give the Creator delight. Nothing. For we are conceived in sin and shape in iniquity, and who can know it? Oh, teach us each, Lord, we plead. May we know what it is. Oh, may we know what we be brought to know what we are and our need. We hasten on, an eternity before us, and oh, how solemn if we should come down to the end of our days and never know our need, never know what it is to groan, being burdened. Oh, never know what it is to smite upon the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. To never know what it is to hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. Oh, prevent it by thy grace, O Lord. Take us each in hand. Work might in our hearts, both young and old and in the middle of life. Or leave us not to be found wanting in that day, or to be found lying upon a bed too narrow, with a bed too short and the covering too narrow. But all they might be clothed upon with that robe of Christ's righteousness, hiding all our imperfections, that truly it might be tis he, a precious Christ seen, in our room, place, and stead. Tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Or to be clothed upon with that robe, that spotless, seamless robe, that neither a spot or a shadow of a spot upon our soul be found. Leave us not to anything of our own making. If we got something of our own making, Lord, strip it from us as a filthy rag. Cast it from thy sight. Oh, wash us every whit and make us clean in thy precious blood. Oh, may we know what it is to say we have no other plea but that thy blood was shed for me. And so we will come with all our wretchedness, our ruin, our vileness, and come even as a hymn writer with nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross to cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Oh, to know what true confession and godly sorrow is. Leave us not to just lip confession. Oh, it's easy to confess with the lip and carry on in our ways. To confess with the lip and roll that sin as a sweet morsel under our tongue. But oh, that true confession and godly sorrow. And oh, Lord, do give us that grace to forsake those sins. Ah, yes, we have besetting sins, do we not? Oh, how we need that grace to forsake them. Ah, and how we need thee to keep us. Ah, truly, we can only be kept, and it is by the power of God. Left to ourselves, we fall 1,000 times a day. Left to ourselves, where will we be? Or have been left to ourselves, where would we be even this night? Oh, but we trust it's being kept by the power of God. So keep us by thy almighty power, we plead. Keep us tender of heart and mind and conscience. Keep us close to thee. Oh, yes, even the lines of the hymn writer. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take, oh, take my heart and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Oh, may it please him. Draw us even this night and we'll run after thee. Draw us by thy sweet resistless grace. Ah, through that eternal love, draw us. Ah, yes, black indeed we have to confess we are. But oh, we read in the Song of Solomon, black but comely. Black but comely. And so we plead then. They might each be found amongst those coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. May be found in each leaning upon thee. Ah, yes, even as regards the pathway of time, leaning upon thee. And certainly some of us, even in this year, we've had to lean harder upon thee than we've ever had to lean before. Oh, what a mercy if it has been so. Drawn away from self. Ah, not been left to go down to Egypt for our help. But oh, to lean upon thee, our beloved. Ah, truly that one. We trust we've proved that one upon whom help is laid. Help is laid upon one that is mighty. And so we plead for each one in the midst of life and all the cares that this, the day in which we live brings. And certainly thou hast caused this to come, the virus to enter into the nation and the nations of the earth. And we cannot stay thy hand or say, what doest thou? And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh, how we need to be now to say in all these things, thy will be done. Oh, we can soon become, peevish. Even to say, well, why is this and why is that? Why should it be so? That is our nature. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Thou hast a perfect right to send forth these things in the way of judgment. And so we plead that it might be even wrought in our hearts again and again and more so. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And may we prove like the psalmist there, the Lord heard and delivered, the Lord heard and delivered again and again. And yea, even brought them to their desired haven. And so we plead to remember each one, in their varied and various paths and scenes of life, from the youngest to the oldest. Perhaps some of the younger ones in their pathway, perhaps even in their education, things have been turned upside down. It have been brought to nothing. Lord, may they prove yet is amongst those all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Or may then their young years prove there is that one that truly cares much for his sheep. And some of those things, as we remember when we had our own sheep, those things which we had to do with the sheep, no doubt it was unpleasant, very unpleasant, but it was for their good. Oh, may we prove that these things, yes, although perhaps are grieving to our natural thoughts, ah, yes, grieving indeed, but oh, for our good. Ah, so, Lord, we plead for the young ones. We plead for those in the midst of life. And perhaps there are those things in the days to come that cause much anxious thought. They're like mountains in the way. Dark clouds. Oh, may they prove the Father of mercies and the God of all grace. May they prove in the midst of all their troubles and their trials, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, the bounty of thy grace in the midst of troubles and trials. That's that which can sustain. Lord, have not some of us approved it even in these past months? Sustaining grace. Where will we have been without sustaining grace? Oh, even this poor one. Ah, yes. We felt even that little while ago now we should sink to rise no more. Ah, yes, how solemn indeed, that's what we feel and did feel, yet we proved the good hand of our God. May they likewise prove the good hand of their God, the God of Jeshurun, who rideth on the heaven thy help, and in his excellency on the sky, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Not might be, maybe, but underneath are the everlasting arms, that refuge and strength, as we proved it so, may each one prove it so, that one that's a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. And it is the eternal God is our refuge and strength, that one that is unmovable. Yes, everything seems to be being moved and decaying. But this eternal God, may we prove in the midst of all things a sure foundation, a refuge and strength, a strong rock, a high tower, a hiding place, a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so we plead for those in the midst of life, and perhaps are those things before them. Do it make those mountains flow down at thy presence? Those dark places light, those rough places plain. And perhaps it seems an impossibility. We've known those times and seasons when it seems an utter impossibility. But we've had to prove also, nothing is too hard for thee. So enable them to wait on, to look again. Ah, yes, and give that patience to wait for thy appearing. Be still and know that I am God. Remember those in the even time of life. Oh, we think upon them. And truly they know the assaults of Satan. And they feel the weariness of mind and body and spirit. But, O Lord, what a mercy when thou dost by the blessed Spirit likewise bring to their remembrance those words which thou hast spoken unto them. And bring to their remembrance all the way which thou hast led them these years in the wilderness. And may it please thee when these things are brought to their remembrance by the Holy Spirit, that it might be a reminder unto them of that precious promise. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. That one that has borne them, that good shepherd and bishop of their souls, that has borne them all the days of old, will not cast them away, will bring them through, bring them home to glory at last. Ah, amidst all the assaults, all the assaults of the adversary and that great company that seems to come out against them. So to remember those in the even time of life. Once again, remember any afflicted ones. We thank thee for restoring mercies to one and another. We've heard of it and we desire to praise thee. And do grant further restoring mercies where there is still weakness or weariness. But do bless all the means used to those that are in affliction's path. Sanctify it, Lord, we plead. Sanctify the affliction. Oh, sweeten all the pain. Make their bed for them. And perhaps even this night they languish upon a bed. Make that place a Bethel to them. And so do remember those in their sicknesses. Remember those in their lonely paths. And certainly perhaps even at this time, now lonelier than ever, as it were, naturally. But oh, may they prove the God of all comfort. Ah, yes, and that promise, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, may they prove, yes, that one that will come, does come. Takes up that abode, draws near, speaks a word. Ah, speaks a word. And so do remember those in their lonely paths. But do remember us as we gather this night in this way and manner once again in our homes apart. But maybe in the unity of the Spirit as it is in Christ. The blessed Spirit uniting one with another, even as we're in our homes apart, or that it might be so. It might be even again this night, although not in the house of God in that physical way, but we might prove the day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Thou art not confined to place or means or mode. Ah, not confined to place or means or mode. We thank thee for that. But, O Lord, we plead that thou wouldest hasten that time when we can once again go up to thy courts. But, O Lord, enable us to say even in this, thy will be done. Thy will be done. But, O Lord, as regards this, which thou hast sent forth, this virus, oh, we plead that thou wouldest in due time stay thy hand and in wrath remember mercy. Oh, in due time we plead, have mercy upon us and do show our leaders what they ought to do. Oh, we feel they do not acknowledge thee. Ah, their actions speak in that way. They do not seek counsel of thee. God is not in all their thoughts. And, O Lord, as we see and view, a man, even at this time, seems to have hardened his heart. Oh, we see greater revelry and wickedness. How solemn indeed. Oh, that thou wouldest yet through these things work in the hearts of many to awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places to build up Zion. There might be a reviving in our day. A revival. Yes, we need reviving in the churches and we need reviving in our own hearts. But in the nation, a reviving in this nation, a turning once again unto thee, and we shall be turned, so we plead that thou wouldest do so. Turn the heart of man. Take out his heart of stone and give him that heart of flesh, those new and living desires. May there be those wrought upon that shall come in like those Greeks of old, with the sirs we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. And so we plead, yet in due time, in wrath remember mercy. In wrath remember mercy. But, O Lord, Ah, yes, thou art a sovereign God. We can have all sorts of thoughts and feelings as regards that in the nation and nations of the earth. But shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have to come back to that again and again. We certainly have turned thee the back and not the face. We sin against light and knowledge. We've rejected thy laws. We enact laws that are contrary to thy word and thy laws. How solemn it is. Iniquity runs down our streets. O Lord, do hear the cries of the remnant, those that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. We need that stirring up. We can soon become complacent. We can soon settle upon our lees and say, well, what will be, will be. What is, is. Oh, when we think of Abraham, when he pleaded for those cities of the plain. Oh, if 50 righteous may be found, wilt thou spare this city? And thou didst say thou wilt spare the city. And he ventured down to 10. If 10 righteous may be found, wilt thou spare this city? If 10 righteous, oh, and thou didst say thou wilt spare the city. But oh, how solemn that time came when thou didst not spare. Yes, thou didst bring out those that thou wouldst bring out. But oh, Lord, may we plead like Abraham. Wilt thou spare this city if 10 righteous may be found? Wilt thou spare this guilty land? So stir us up. We might plead more earnestly. No, Lord, once again we thank thee for thy mercies and favours. Man in his wickedness puts it all down to fortune, luck and chance. But we see the good hand of our God having provided for us thus far, maintained us in the way, been better to us than all our fears. We've seen the good hand of our God and we acknowledge it is so. We've lacked nothing. Great has been thy faithfulness and thy mercies new every morning. We thank thee that we have the open Bible. We thank thee that we can gather even in this way and when we are permitted in thy courts without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. We thank thee for it. Do maintain it to us, we plead. Maintain it to us, we plead. But, O Lord, we think of that word, man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And so we've had those provisions for time. It's our never-dying souls, our needs for eternity. May we be found amongst those now that hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. May we be found amongst those, oh, that might please thee even this night. Go on to be with one that is a sinner. It astounded the Pharisees, did it not? He's gone to be with one that is a sinner. He eateth with publicans and sinners. Blessed be God. Oh, what a mercy thou dost. Thou camest to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, seek and save those that are lost this night. Bind up broken hearts. Heal the wounded. Break unto us a bread of life. Do us each good. Send none empty away. May we taste that thou art gracious. May we have those sips from the well of salvation. A crumb that may fall from the master's table. Oh, do bless us each together. Bless us each together. And so do help us now. We think of those that give out the hymns and the burden and exercise that rests upon that. Oh, Lord, do help them in this, in that part of divine service, we plead. Have not some of us been touched by the language of a hymn? It has melted us that we've wept in thy court. So we plead that thy blessing might rest upon it all. And all the praise be thine. All the praise and the glory be thine. Do pardon and forgive then our many sins and our failings and shortcomings. No, Lord, where we failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. But wash us each in thy precious blood, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 802. The first verse, and then verse 18 to the end. Verse 1, then 18 to the end. Jesus, while he dwelt below, as divine historians say, to a place would often go, near to Kedron's brook it lay. In this place he loved to be, and 'twas named Gethsemane. Hymn 802, verse 1, and then verse 18 to the end.
Jesus, my dwelling place.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn back to that chapter we tried to speak from this morning, the first epistle general of John and chapter 1. But we'll read verses 7, 8 and 9. The first epistle general of John, chapter 1, verses 7, 8 and 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first epistle general of John, chapter 1, verses 7, 8 and 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When that unerring light shines into your heart and mine, what does it discover, make known unto us? Much that makes us tremble. Yes, a dead professor knows nothing of this. The self-righteous Pharisee knows nothing of this. And the world that lieth in wickedness knows nothing of it either. But oh, when that light, which is the word of life, that word which is light. Yes, that word which enters into your heart, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, that divides between the joints and the marrow. It is that light. It's not darkness, yes. That darkness, is it not, when we serve the prince of the power of the air, that which is natural to us by our nature, our birth. For we were conceived in sin, and so that is whom we served. We walked in that darkness, we knew not our need. But oh, when that light shines, then there's that need, known and felt. Life is imparted. And in that life imparted, there's that groaning being burdened, for that one sees himself to be a sinner. He sees himself to be a sinner. And there's a hymn we had just now. Yes, that verse 20. Well, 19 and 20. True, I can't deserve to share in a favour so divine. But since sin first fixed thee there, none have greater sins than mine. And to this my woeful plea, witness thou Gethsemane. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. That's one groaning. Groaning and being burdened, and it makes my mind go back to the first hymn we had. And perhaps there has been that those questions there felt within. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And then that hymn of Newton's as it goes on, that searching of, yes, and those various things written down and left on record for us in that hymn. Do you find it traced out a little of that, what you feel within? Yes, on the one hand, a questioning as to whether there's any life of that beginning of the work of grace, that work of faith where implanted in the soul. On the other hand, yes, it seems it's quite otherwise. What shall we see in the Shulamite but the company of two armies? And so there is that known and felt. It's not, yes, I heard one not so long ago, they are speaking in this way, that the child of God, with this, not in these words, but it was with this in mind, that the child of God, once there's been that wrought in his heart, will never know any changes. It will be light and liberty. But oh, what does the child of God find? It's often the other warfare, tossings to and fro. On the one hand, wondering whether the work of grace has begun, and on the other, at times, as a groaning being burdened. A groaning under that burden. Well, blessed be God, if there's been a groaning and a tracing out in measure. Yes, on the one hand, 'tis a point I long to know. And oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? But oh, the language of that hymn as it goes on. But ah, can you trace out a little of that moving within? Ah, one time it didn't make any difference to you whether you heard or didn't hear. It didn't make any difference to you whether you came up to the house of God. We know it is in this way at the moment. But you sat under the sound of the gospel whether you heard or didn't hear. And that was with the outward ear. Came and went, and there was no more to it than that, a coming and going. But now, groaning, a groaning being burdened, and is it not because, yes, that word which is light and life and liberty, yes, in that way you may say, well, it doesn't feel like liberty. But it's brought out of that where you were once dead, completely dead, unmoved, unconcerned. Yes, not that full liberty which you desire. But blessed be God, if there's been that wrought in you, the beginning of that work of grace. Ah, may yet prove in those days and years to come. We know the Lord is sovereign. But oh, if you know a little of that need as a sinner, and you can say then with the second hymn, yes, I can testify of this, sins against the holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. And then this next verse, here's my claim. It's a one then with a, yes, on the one hand, questioning, 'tis a point I long to know, but all that desiring. Oh, blessed be God, if it's a desire. Is it not this, draw me, and we're on after thee, blank but comely? You read of it in, I believe it's in the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. That one, blank but comely, draw me, and we're after thee. Been that drawing. Comes back to that. I believe we mentioned it this morning. That everlasting love. I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness, have I drawn thee. And so that next verse, 21, did he not speak like read like this? Here's my claim. And here alone, none a saviour more can need. Deeds of righteousness I've none. No, not one good work to plead. Not a glimpse of hope for me. Only in Gethsemane. Oh, that one. There's been an opening of this understanding. The light of the word of life. That's a measure of this walking in the light. in his light, the one that is light, whereby you can see and know your need, and you see through the lattice of the gospel, one that so suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as a hymn writer put it, those sufferings which so intense that angels have no perfect sense, and in measure, although we quoted that word this morning, they shall look upon one whom they have pierced, but you look upon that one and you long to see your sins laid upon that one there, the spotless lamb, that one that so suffered. And the intensity of those sufferings, and that you might know of a truth, it was because of your sins. You don't have to think about another one's sins, but you know that your sins are your sins alone. What suffering it would the Lord of life and glory would have had to endure. It had just been your sins, let alone that number that no man can number. But oh, to see your sins laid upon that spotless lamb, that one raised up from all eternity, one verily God, verily man, one made under the law, so to satisfy it in every jot and tittle. Ah, that under those sufferings cried out, did he not, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Ah, came to do his Father's will. Yes, all that the Father give me shall come to me. Not one shall be left out or lost or forsaken or left to the hand of the enemy, left to make shipwreck of faith. They shall all come and be brought home to glory. They're his bride, his church, his bride, loved from all eternity, the least of them to the greatest of them. You may feel like the apostle, where you have to say, I'm less than the least of all saints. But what a mercy of the men of that grace is given. That light is imparted. A knowledge of sin. A groaning under the burden of it. And the Spirit leading. Comes back to what we spoke this morning concerning the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Leading a poor sinner into all truth as it is in Jesus. Ah, and so the Spirit leads that one along with those groanings, being burdened, hungerings and thirstings. And it comes that, and I felt I must read that chapter in Isaiah. Do you know then a little of this then? Blessed be God if you do. Ah, yes, on the one hand, 'tis a point I long to know. Am I his or am I not? Go back to him again. But oh, do you hunger and thirst? Who hath put that hunger and thirst there? Who hath given it to you? Who hath wrought it in the heart? It is not the man or the woman or the child. It's not within them. It's not possible. Ah, this is the power of God, this light, the light of his word that, as we said a little earlier, when that word of his grace enters into your heart, like the nail in a sure place, a sure and certain word of his prophecy enters in there. And it begins that work, and that work will go on. The Spirit, ah, the blessed Spirit within, will breathe upon you again and again. Yes, at times it feels, yes. Is it all come to nothing? Is it so damped it will die? But the blessed Spirit will bring you again and again to this hungering and thirsting after Christ and his righteousness. Yes, in that chapter, it does it not speak like this? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Well, that one then, wrought upon by the Spirit, groaning, being burned, knowing what it is to be a sinner. Oh, that's that one wrought upon like this. He's brought to seek the Lord. For his eye will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? The time that has been accomplished, it has come to that time, and that has been wrought in your heart to seek the Lord. To call upon him in that time when he may be found. Yes, there's that day appointed, that time appointed. When each one will leave the hateful ways of sin. It will not be of works, lest any man should boast. It is that gift of God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It is that gift of God. And so they were brought to seek the Lord. And in that seeking, hungering and thirsting, groaning, being burdened. Yes. And in that groaning, being burdened, they won't say we have no sin. So we quoted that line, those lines of that hymn, sins against the holy God. Won't go over it again. If we confess our sins. Poor trembling one. There's the word of God. If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is that one in that first verse we quoted. Cleanse us from all sin. Cleanse us from all sin. And oh, what will you have to do? As we said, yes, you go to Gethsemane. You'll be led to see. The Spirit will bring him in measure, some greater than others, to see those sufferings of Christ. But oh, I turn to it a little earlier, whereby we read in John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, cried, "It is finished." But when those soldiers came round to see whether they were dead, they saw that Christ was dead already. They did not break his legs. And as that prophecy was fulfilled there, not a bone of him shall be broken. But oh, although that one thrust that spear into the side of Christ, what did it open that day? For we read, "Do we not, forthwith came the blood and the water." The blood and the water. That fountain was opened in that day. The hymn writer put it like this, did he not? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Oh, may you likewise, poor sinner, see that fountain in our day, in your day, that time appointed. A dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And all that which came forth, did it not, from the wounded side of Christ was the blood and the water. And did not the hymn writer put it in? I believe it is in that hymn 143 speaks of the Rock of Ages, this precious Christ. Yes, and as that a cruel spear was thrust into his side, forthwith came the blood and the water. Or do you come like that hymn of Top Lady then? Or this one groaning, being burned, with all his sins against the holy God, sins against his righteous laws, etc. at him of Top Lady, Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, to cleanse me from its guilt and power. Oh, to cleanse from the guilt and power of sin. Ah, do you have need of it then? Grown under your burden? Ah, Rock of Ages. May you prove this Rock of Ages, the riven side of Christ. He's our Rock of Ages. He's been the Rock of Ages to countless numbers round the throne of God in heaven. In fact, everyone there. The Rock of Ages. That riven side and that which flowed forth there, the blood and the water. Oh, do you long to see that then? Ah, to long to taste. Ah, long to taste. The third verse in that hymn 143 speaks thus. Nothing in my hand I bring. That's one brought out of necessity. He can't claim anything. Doesn't say, I'll do this bit and I'll do that. He's brought to the end of everything. Helpless. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Oh, he longed that washing, the taste of that living stream. Oh, every one that thirsteth. Yes, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's a sufficiency there, poor sinner. That one that hungers and thirsts, that one that desires Christ. Perhaps the old adversary says, well, your sins are beyond the grace of God. Your sins are beyond the grace of God. Ah, oh, you read of those accounts of some. You read of Manasseh, yes, and Mary, and various others in the Word of God. But like the Apostle, I know it doesn't say, but there's no account that the Apostle Paul committed any great sin that would come down hard upon him as regards perhaps the law of the land and amongst the people he lived. Yes, he may have held men and women to prison and to judgment and to death. But yes, he thought he did God service. No doubt he felt it so. But he's brought to this. That was in natural way, not spiritually. He didn't know it spiritually then. There's a serving of man. Pharisee of the Pharisees. But under grace, he had to say, of sinners of whom I'm chief. No doubt he'd have heard of those ones that had gone before in time past. Manasseh, etc. But he said this, of sinners of whom I am chief. Ah, the chiefest of sinners, the most deep dyed. Ah, the foulest sinner out of hell. Ah, is it not in one of our hymns, the foulest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need? I turn to it even this afternoon. Ah, I believe that's the one, is it not? Oh, the vilest sinner. Yes, the vilest sinner. The hymn of Gadsby begins like this, does it not? What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. And that's what we, one of the Lord's servants, what we preach, the gospel. And we sound the trumpet of the gospel as enabled. Or may it be the trumpet of the gospel heard this day and even this evening. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives, 10,000 blessings it contains, divinely rich and free. For helpless, wretched, ruined man, though vile and base as we. Ah, vile and base. It speaks to pardon full and free. Through Christ the Lamb once slain, whose blood can cleanse the foulest soul and take away all stain. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. The Lord delights to hear them cry and knock at mercy's door. 'Tis grace that makes them feel their need and pray to him for more. Nor will he send them empty back, nor fright them from the door. The Father has in Jesus stored all blessings for the poor. Ah, ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. These are the waters of the gospel and the abundance of it. And ah, yes, there's that efficacy there. And like that dear woman, she'd spent all that she had. She had that issue, did she not? That issue of blood, and she'd spent all that she had and rather grew worse, and perhaps she feel the same. Prove this, I sin and stumble but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Ah, precious Christ. Ah, a precious Christ revealed through the gospel. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And then incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. And that one that feels to be the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners, the most vile, the vilest sinner, the most black, that one black but comely. Ah, let him return unto the Lord. Yes, there's out, as we said, I believe this morning, there's a separated man. Is that which has caused that separation? This mediator of the new covenant, precious Christ, your glorious high priest, our advocate with the Father, that one has accomplished all and shed his own heart's blood and has now ascended on high, for the grave could not hold him, waits to be gracious. And that the voice of thy cry will answer thee. And what a mercy when that answer is given. When that answer is given. When you prove that he will have mercy. Ah, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. When I saw that word abundantly. Yes, you may say, well, abundant sins, great mountain of sins. Abundantly speaks of something more than enough. More than enough, yes, your sins may be. A great mountain indeed. Very foul indeed. As we said just now, you feel that like the apostle, and you have to say, yeah, but I am the worst of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. But the chiefest of sinners, an abundant mercy, abundant pardon. An abundant pardon. Well, going back to that, those words we've taken for our text. Yes, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. So there's that one brought into fellowship. And does he not speak of that in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians? I must admit, in that way, I've gone from one thing to another. But, yes, that one made nigh. Once afar off, estranged. Estranged from those covenants of promise. Estranged from God in that way. Yes, his sins had certainly separated him. But now that one, wrought upon by the Spirit, quickened by the Spirit. Little hope in exercise. Hope in Christ wrought in them. What we read in that second chapter in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. But now, that one that had no hope before, that one that was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, remember when I long for that, but now. Now, but now, and it reminds me of that word, and as it comes to my mind, perhaps it is a word unto one or another, and perhaps you long for this but now. We read of a but now at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 43. And this is what I longed for when I was groaning, being burdened. The Spirit had wrought in my heart, yes, that good thing. But I couldn't be satisfied until I had this but now. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, that but now. That but now. Yes, but now. And yet I was brought to, yes, I may have spoken of it before, but that chapter 2 in Ephesians. A but now there was opened up to my understanding, made unto me the joy and rejoicing of my soul, as I was brought to see this one. Yes, without hope at one time. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh by the blood of Christ. Comes back to that blood. Made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. That which separated before, divided. That poor sinner, that poor trembling sinner, he can go to the throne of grace, the mercy seat, and he pleads for Jesus' sake. He pleads that name which is above every name, and he pleads that precious blood. He pleads that precious blood, yes. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh. By the blood of Christ, he ventures there, ventures in his need. That one hungering and thirsting, though the ear has been, that have been clawing of their ear. They venture to, yes. Comes back to that hymn, till at last to him we call. Tried everything else, till at last to him we call. Then we prove that one that may be found, That one that is, yes, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The full forgiveness is not conditional. A man may put conditions on another man if you allow you to not do have to do that or fulfill that, but there's conditions attached. This is unconditional. For the poor sinner's brought to that, he can do nothing. That venturing by faith, he pleads for Jesus' sake. Pleads that name which is above every name. And pleads that precious blood. Oh, it comes that hymn, does it not? Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, ere I die. He longs out for that washing. He has to plead, wash me every whit. Ah, he doesn't say, well, it's just my feet, just my hands. His wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Wash me every whit to make me clean. Plunge me in that crimson ocean. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So he said, abundantly, abundantly pardon, a full forgiveness. They talk as if man can do something, and God will do the rest. But oh, what a mercy. Nothing in my hands I bring. Comes back to that again. Nothing in my hands I bring. But oh, another hymn came to my mind, if I can find it, but the time is almost gone. Yes, that hymn of Senex, 985, and now I feel that we must close. But oh, if we say we have no sin, we'll go back to that verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all that hymn, and I'll close with this hymn. May be a help to one or another. You may be a despairing one. Ho, ye despairing sinners, hear. Ye thirsty sin-sick souls, draw near. Here's water whose all-powerful stream shall quench your thirst and wash you clean. Its healing power has always wrought beyond the reach of human thought. Bethesda's pool is not like this, nor heals nor cures such leprosies. Nor Siloam's streams, nor Jordan's flood, could to my heart seem half so good. 'Tis Jesus' blood, that crimson sea, that washes guilt and filth away. To this dear fountain I repair, with all the wounds and pains I bear. I'd keep my station near its side, and wash and drink and there abide. Nor from the sacred streams remove, till taken to their source above. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members tomorrow evening at 8:00. Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Dr. Sadler is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 158. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. May I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood. Precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. Hymn 158.
Pleased to bless those truths delivered in thy name. Ah, oh, may it please him, I be by the blessed Spirit, those things are made known unto this one and that one, revealed to them, a precious Christ, the hope of glory. Ah, to see that fountain open for sin, all sin and uncleanness. Oh, to have a hope raised up, a good hope through grace. Oh, do then be pleased to bless that which is of thee, maybe unto one another, that which lifts up their weak hands and confirms their feeble knees. Ah, yes, to go again and again into the closet and pour out their hearts before thee. Ah, truly hungering and thirsting after thee and after thy righteousness. And may they in due time prove that abundance of thy grace, thy mercy. Ah, that delivering grace, that saving grace, over and above all their sins and all their imperfections. And oh, they might in due time put that crown upon thy head, to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold the way to God. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do remember us each now in our pathways of life, those various ones that perhaps feel loneliness. Go to them where they are and comfort them again and again. But Lord, we will fall now into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Watch over us in our going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.